ask about that.
Can you do something to make it maybe a bit lower or maybe less
treble? She asked about that. Does a pure devotee of God, does a devotee of God go to hell to preach? Does a devotee of God go to hell to teach knowledge, spiritual knowledge? So Prabhupada said, London, this is hell. Nobody's not, nobody laughs. There's another story that Prabhupada would like to tell. Hey, listen. I'm trying to take the limelight, not you. So there's another story that one Christian preacher, he thought, I must go down the mines. I'll go down the mines and I'll preach to the miners. And so he was preaching. And now, unless you accept Jesus Christ, you'll have to take her outside. Sorry. So the preacher was saying to the miners, thousands of feet underground in the coal mine, he's saying, unless you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. So they said, well, what's hell like? Well, it's dark. It's hot. There's no air. And any time you can get crushed, and it was going on like this. And their faces were blank. No reaction. No fear of hell. So he said, he's racking his brains. What is it? He says, there's no newspapers there. And he went, oh. No newspapers. I don't want to go there. So this is our real problem. The real problem is this temporary body. And this is what Bhagavad Gita is explaining in the second chapter. That our identification with this body, I am from Brighton, I am female, I am male, I am 60 years old, I am 20 years old, I am British, I'm Hindu, I'm Christian, I'm Muslim, I'm this, I'm that. This is the cause of our suffering. Just like in a dream. You know, we have some crazy dream, which turns out to be a nightmare. And, you know, you're going into a headlong collision with a big truck, 100 miles an hour. What is it, love? What's the matter? I'm having a crash. There's no crash. Wake up. It's a dream. You see, because of that identification with this body, we're suffering so much. So actually, there's no real happiness in this world whatsoever. We're condemned to grow old, to have diseases and die. Although we may, you know, we go to the pub, have a beer or two, and have a girlfriend and smoke a cigarette. We try and, you know, just like Prabhupada gives the example. You go to the hospital and your friend is in the hospital. And he's lying there, you know, his legs up in a sling, and he's got a drip feed into his mouth and to his side, and he's, and the nurse is having to clean him because there's a bad smell, obnoxious smell coming from him. So when he says, oh, how are you, Joe? Oh, I'm really good today. I'm really good today. Thanks very much. So actually, we're all putting on a big show that we're enjoying life. And even Lord Buddha was saying, you know the story of Lord Buddha? He was a son of a big prince, Siddhartha. And he never got outside the palace. Recently, I went to the place in Bihar, Bodh Gaya, where Lord Buddha got his enlightenment, Samadhi. There's a tree there called the Bodhi tree. So anyway, he went out to the palace, and I don't know the full details, but he saw somebody with disease. He said, what's this? some guy, you know, with a horrible disease. He said, this is disease. And he went a bit further and saw some woman, she's having a baby. And she saw the baby being born. I said, oh my God, what's this? I've been in the palace for so long. I didn't know this was going on. This horrible, this disease and birth. And the next, so he saw some old age, you know, white hair, stumbling along, you know, with a stick. What's this? He says, old age, man. Watch out for it. And the next person, he saw somebody dying. So then he thought, oh, we've got to do something about this. Teach people how to get free from this. So there are some similarities between Buddhism and Hare Krishna. That there's an entity which is bound by karma and is repeatedly taking birth in different bodies and suffering. Birth, disease, old age, death. Birth, disease, old age, and death. And of course the Buddhist idea is that simply do away with this identity altogether. So there's no identity, so no suffering. It's like the Buddhists. That's a bit like this story. There's another story I like to tell. In the village in India, there was one time, there was a boy with a big boil on his backside. A really big one. This is a serious boil. Awesome. So his mother was, that's really, well, hey, what are we going to do? So she thought, let me call my uncle. He usually has some good ideas. So the uncle came and he's a bit mad. He said, I know the solution to his boil. We'll kill him. I said, no, we can't kill him just because he's got a boil. And then his sister said, no, I'll solve the problem for you. Very easy. I'll blow on it. And the boy said, yeah, that's great. But I keep blowing, sister. That's real nice. But everyone could see that the boy wasn't going to get cured like that. So his mother had a bright idea. Let's call the doctor! And the doctor came in with his bag, put out a scalpel. His mum said, are you going to kill him? No, don't worry. And he went, whoa! And then all the stuff in the boil came out. He was cured!
Jai.
So the Buddhist idea of the impersonal idea that let us lose our identity, dismantle this body, or just merge with infinite, absolute, unknowing, eternal, we don't know what it is, but we'll merge with it. And we'll become God. We'll all become God. I am you, you are me, and we'll all be one together, kind of thing. There's one kind of idea of liberation. But Bhagavad Gita is not saying that. Bhagavad Gita is saying, cure the disease of this I-ness. This I-ness, this consciousness, is now polluted by the material atmosphere. We are not our real I. We are this false ego. That I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence. But there is a real ego, a real self, which is permanent, that we've forgotten it, just like we want to wake up from the dream, bad dream, and then we understand who I really am. Oh, I'm Fred Blobs. I live in Brighton. You know, I live down the road. Such and such, this is my kids, this is my family. We wake up from the dream. So the Krishna consciousness is teaching us how to wake up from the dream and live in a spiritual way, on the level of consciousness. Consciousness means what I am. Just like I say, my hand, my head, my nose, my eyes, my mind,
my what was next? My senses, my mind, what was higher than the mind?
Spirit. No, you don't say my spirit.
Intelligence. Just like a chariot. It has horses, and then it has ropes. It has a driver, it has a passenger. Just imagine that scenario. So the senses are like the horses. The ropes is like the mind. The driver is like the intelligence. And we, the consciousness, is like the passenger. So half the time, we're out of touch with our mind. The mind and senses is just pulling us here and there. So the passenger is in anxiety. So in this verse, Bhagavad Gita talks about buddhi yoga. It means that we take control from intelligence. And we understand, yes, I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. So I'll act in this world, so I won't have to take another birth and suffer a repetition of birth and death. Okay, we'll read this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Buddhi yukto jahatiya ube sukriti duskrite tasmad yogaya yujasva yoga kama shuko shalam. This is Sanskrit. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad reactions, even in his life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work, the art of living, how to act and do things, so we're not entangled in birth and death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto Lord Sri Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction birth after birth. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. In other words, the medicine, the cure for this action and reaction disease. Okay, next verse. Kama jambali yuktahi palam chakva manisina janma banda vinimukta padam gachanchanamayam. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world, or the karma. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and then attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. Purport. The liberated living entities belong to that place where there are no material miseries. The Bhagavatam 10.14.58 says, Samashrita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yashomarare Bhavampade vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadam nitesham. It's a very nice poetry, right? Padam padam yadvipadam nitesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda, or the giver of liberation, the ocean of the material world of suffering is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. Parampadam, or the place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha, is his goal, not the place where there is danger in every step. Owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place where there are dangers at every step. Out of ignorance only, less intelligent persons try to adjust to the situation by fruitive activities, thinking that the resultant actions will make them happy. Just like we have this electric light, because we don't like the darkness. But we have to work very hard for it. We have to pay the electric bill, we have to have nuclear power stations, we have to dig for coal, and yet we think it's an advantage. Of course, in advance we can read Bhagavad Gita. But you see what I mean? Nothing comes. One thing creates an advantage, but there's a big disadvantage to it. It goes along with it. So you can't adjust the miseries. The miseries will come somewhere. Even if you have electric light or electric fan or heater, you have to suffer to get that. Okay? The miseries of life, namely birth, death, old age and diseases, are present everywhere within the material world. Even America, or even if the richest man, Rothschild, DuPont, you still have to grow old and die, it doesn't matter. But one who understands his real constitutional position as the eternal servitor of the Lord, and thus knows the position of the personality of God, engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Consequently, he becomes qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets, where there is neither material miserable life nor the influence of time and death. To know one's constitutional position means to know also the sublime position of the Lord. One who wrongly thinks that the living entity's position and the Lord's position are on the same level is to be understood to be in darkness, and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord, or yoga, bhakti yoga. He becomes a Lord himself, but this paves the way for the repetition of birth and death. But one who, understanding that his position is to serve, transfers himself to the service of the Lord, at once becomes eligible for Vaikuntha Loka, the spiritual planets. Service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga, or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service through the Lord. Srila Prabhupada King.
Jai.
So thank you. Any questions? We can open it up for questions now. If there's any questions. So it's quite a serious topic.
Prabhuji.
Yeah.
You said we will become God. What was that? I'm confused.
Sorry?
Speech, you said we all become God.
Yeah, because you didn't follow my your English not so fluent. I was saying that the Buddhists and the Mayavadis think that they can become God. The individual soul can merge with God and become God. That's one kind of liberation or freedom. But according to Bhagavad Gita, this is not the highest freedom. Because after all, we're looking for pleasure. We're looking for happiness. So if we lose our identity, our I, then who's to enjoy that? And if we all become God, then who will we relate with? Who will we love? If we all become one, if I put you in a room all alone, then how happy will you be? We're going on personality and love and relationships to be happy. If there's no one else but me, where's my happiness? You've got freedom from misery, okay. Just me. This is some form of liberation. Just like killing the boy for the boy. Okay, he's free from it. You've removed your identity. But where's real happiness? I want relationships of love and feeling, sense pleasure, which are permanent. I don't want to have misery. So, according to Bhagavad Gita, we can never become God. It's not possible we're God, we can become. God is always God, He's always supreme, and we are always subordinate, we're tiny. We're dependent. We're dependent on air, we're dependent on water, we're dependent on the earth to walk on. We're dependent on our mother, our father, government. So how can we be God? It doesn't make sense. So the idea is that instead of serving an illusion that we are We are the controller, we are the enjoyer. Why not serve the real controller, the real enjoyer, or Krishna? That's what Krishna is saying here. Give up the illusion and come to reality. Any more questions?
Is it a permanent arrangement, this merging? This, if your desire is to merge, is that a permanent thing? Is that eternal?
Well, the scriptures say no, it's not eternal. Because we don't have a personal relationship with something impersonal. And our nature is personal. So sooner or later, that we'll desire to have relationships. And we'll come to this world of karma again. Because we haven't developed our love for Krishna.
Is the reason why some people want to merge is because their suffering has been so great, and because they don't understand this another spiritual world, that they think if they go into the Brahma Yuga, you know, just disappear, that'll cease their suffering.
Yeah.
But they don't know
that
anymore.
Yeah. We think, well, we suffer because I'm me, I've suffered so much. So if I cease being me, then I'll be happy. Just like if you bang your head against a brick wall, and then you stop, oh, now I'm happy. So that's the kind of liberation people think is. But actually there's real me, and there's real activities in the spiritual world, which we can practice even in this life. And that's what, just like we're chanting and dancing, that's the real activity of the soul. Although the body's doing it, the body's under the control of the spiritual energy. It's yoga. We're fully under the control of spiritual sound, and fully under the control of Krishna, the spiritual master. And that happiness can be ever increasing. If we practice Krishna consciousness, that's the idea. Just like in Krishna consciousness, there's some things we don't do. Just like we don't eat meat. We'll be having a feast, we don't eat meat. But that helps us to get free from karma and from physical problems. So there's certain things, there's do's and don'ts about yoga. Just one of them. So it requires practice. There's a way of life. There's a lifestyle. It doesn't mean you have to wear these clothes and shave your head. But one can live in Krishna consciousness and live a normal life also. Yeah. Also.
Are these pictures of Krishna and Radha? Are they to help us to connect in our imagination to Krishna and Radha? In a way. It's like I can sit by myself and have that image in my mind or something like that. Is that kind of thing? Is that what it's for?
Well, the Bhagavad Gita says that Krishna, the Supreme Person, he comes to this temporal place, the world, the material world, as an avatar to reveal his form, which is eternal, his eternal form, and he reveals to us. And Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and appeared with his pastimes with Radharani, and also appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So they're not imagination. So they're actually these photographs and these deities, these sculptures and these forms were made up according to exact descriptions of Krishna when he appeared 5,000 years ago. So when a painting's done or a photograph's done, that we're actually directly connecting with spiritual energy through sight, through our senses. Our senses are spiritualized when we see these pictures. They're no longer material senses. We're seeing a form of Krishna or a form of God. And we're hearing the sound vibration. We're tasting the food of the Lord. So this is Bhakti Yoga. It awakens our, not imagination, but it awakens our real senses. That's a reality. It's like a picture of the spiritual world. It's a higher reality, a permanent reality. So if we remember these pictures when we leave our body, then we won't have to take birth again in this material world. And if we remember the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, when we quit our body, when the soul leaves the body, when we leave our body, sooner or later we have to, then again we won't have to take births, because we will be remembering Krishna. Because this is a science, how not to take birth again in this material world, and to attain our real reality. It's like waking up from a dream. We wake up. That's just an example of a dream. From a lower reality to a higher reality. But this body is also a dream. So we can wake up from this to a permanent reality. That's the idea. But this is coming from the permanent reality, these pictures. That makes sense? Yeah? Because
in Judaism,
yeah.
They don't like the form of God.
No, they don't like the form. But I used to paint, so I like pictures. So I can relate to pictures. But I mean, I'd love to actually. Either believe it more or feel it more, or something like that. Because when you say it to me, I mean, is it okay that I say this? I don't know. When I hear you speak of it, then I don't know if I'm just being influenced or student or I don't, yeah. Kind of because of, it's not experiential for me.
Your consciousness, look at it like this. You're alive, you're a being, conscious being, right?
Yeah.
And you have a form.
Yeah.
This body is your form.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Consciousness, he doesn't have a form. If there is God, then he's going to be less than his creation. Why shouldn't he also have a form? This doesn't make sense to say God is formless. And he's created so many forms. So even logically, we can think, well, yeah, maybe the Torah or whatever it is, the Bible or the Quran, doesn't talk about God's form. But maybe he does, and maybe Bhagavad Gita is talking about it. So if we can be open-minded, and we can get over that, then we can start meditating on it. On Radha and Krishna and the song. Personally, what I remember, because I was a modern artist, went to art college and so on, and then I eventually came to visit the temple in London, which was in Bury Place by the British Museum, and the very first time I saw the deities, yeah. Then I was completely struck. I thought, so now I don't have to make imaginary beautiful things anymore. Because I used to think, I'll make something beautiful to help people. Yeah, this is modern art. Yeah. Something speculated out of my own mind. But then when I saw Radha and Krishna decorated with beautiful flowers and beautiful dresses and then beautiful smells and scents. And then I thought, oh, here, they're already here. Those beautiful things are already here. Now all I have to do as an artist is to somehow bring people to appreciate them. That's what I realized. I thought, now my art will be to somehow or other bring people to appreciate the form of God. His name, his pastimes, his activities. So a different kind of artist. The devotee is an artist, because he's trying to bring people to the supreme artist. Krishna's the supreme artist. He's creating trees, flowers, the landscape, the mountains, the oceans, everything beautiful, all things bright and beautiful. All creatures great and small. All things wise and wonderful. The good Lord and all. So we can accept that. So if he's not beautiful, it doesn't make sense. So Krishna means the all beautiful, all attractive person. So if he doesn't have form, it doesn't really make sense. God must have a form. He must be a person, and he must be the most lovable person. So bhakti yoga means to connect with Krishna through our activities, our words, all our senses, our ears, our sense of touch, and our sense of adventure. Just like me, I go to Africa, Congo, start preaching there, start telling people about Krishna. It's an adventure. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, you know, why stick around in this mundane world? Why not have an adventure of your life on the spiritual platform? Do something that will free yourself from birth and death and get yourself a higher happiness, highest happiness. Fall in love with Krishna instead of falling in love with a mundane person. Fall in love with a transcendental person. You will never grow, never die. Is it time up now?
Yes.
Okay. One last question?
I've got a question.
Okay.
One.
Sorry.
1 minute, one question.
One last question.
I'm just really interested in what you said about karma and eating animals. And I just wondered if, with regards to Krishna consciousness, that then extends to a social commitment and political commitment to do with karma.
Actually, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate political revolution. And that's what we're doing. We're creating a mass movement so that we'll elect leaders who know the purpose of human life, and how to protect animals, how animals should be treated, all creatures should be treated. So, it's not something which we can immediately jump to the political platform in a democratic environment. Maybe, you know, Paul McCartney's wife, and some vegetarian people who are very influential, and some pop singers, they can help. And even some politicians can help. But the real politics is each one of us individually can distribute Prabhupada's books, tell people to chant Hare Krishna, and they awaken to the reality, I'm not British. I'm not, you know, this body, it's all a big con. This Olympic Games is a big hoax. Did anyone see, if you look up, I did an interview at the Colosseum in Rome. People like it. It's called the Olympic Hoax Revealed. You can look up on YouTube. It's all a big con, this whole society, modern education. They're teaching us we are this body. You are British, you are female, you are this, you are that. We're being tricked. And we've got to rebel against this. And the best way to rebel is not to put chewing super glue in the butcher's shop, keys in the butcher's shop. Or, you know, to protest in Shoreham about the bulls going to Europe or something. The best way to protest is to chant the holy names, chant Hare Krishna mantra. It's what purify people, purify ourselves, and we come to our senses that we're living in a madhouse. But if we club together in these associations, then we can realize that this is a madhouse out there. People are no better than animals. Only eating, sleeping, mating, and rebelling. So living games is all about, you know, these four things. How to make this body better, how to make Britain better. So bonkers. You're not this body. Any fool can see me, not this body. You say, my hand, my head, my nose, my ears, well, who am I? A thoughtful person, Manisina, he's thinking, who am I? But this modern education is not teaching this. So that's what this saga is about. It's not just airy-fairy yoga. We're trying to make a revolution here to change the student society of madmen. People are not happy with this birth, old age, disease, and death. Where is the Conservative Party, the Labour Party? They're not talking about these things. It's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy going on to keep people in ignorance. And we're against this conspiracy. We say, Hare Krishna, get out of this nonsense. I was with this lady who was the vice mayor of Brighton. Who was at the festival? At the Jagannath Festival. And the vice mayor of Brighton, she was there. And she was sweeping in front of the car, breaking the coconut. This is good political action. And they took a photograph of her with me. And it's going to be in the British Museum. Shiva Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So now we're going to take prasadam, yes? So this is revolutionary food. It's food which is not... no karma in this food. Karma-free food. Normally if you kill a potato, you have to suffer to kill a potato, man. How can you dare to do such a thing? Let alone if you kill a goat or a fish or a bird, if you kill anything. But Krishna says, if you offer me with love a fruit, a leaf, fruit, flower, water, then I will accept it to become free of karma. So we eat revolutionary food, food to make it change this whole civilization, to re-spiritualize ourselves and the whole world. So, should I say the prayer? Or?
Yeah, I'd like everyone to come up this side of the queue and then come around and go that way, so anti-clockwise. So. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, Maharaj, ki!
Dharani, Dharani, Prabhu, ki! Okay, we'll say the prayer in English. Oh Lord!
Oh Lord!
This material body.
This material body.
And the senses,
and the senses
are a network,
are a network,
network of paths,
network of paths
leading towards,
leading towards,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the senses,
of all the senses,
the tongue,
the tongue
is the most voracious,
is the most voracious,
and difficult to conquer,
and difficult to conquer
in this world,
in this world.
But you, dear Krishna,
but you, dear Krishna,
have been so kind to us.
Been so kind to us.
You have sent this nice.
You have sent this nice
spiritual food.
Spiritual food.
Prasadam.
Prasadam.
Karma-free food.
Karma-free food.
To help us.
To help us.
Conquer the tongue. So therefore, we take this prasadam.
We take this prasadam.
Spiritual food.
Spiritual food.
To our full.
Satisfaction. and glorify their lordship.
Shri Shri Radha and Krishna.
Shri Shri Radha and Krishna.
And love we call upon the help. And with love.
And with love
we call upon the help. Of Lord Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya.
Lord Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.